Hello and welcome, everyone. You are listening to The Crack. This is the podcast where I ask you, what's the crack? And that still seems to be the intro. This is the third week in a row. I'm going to have to actually sit in an intro and write out, what am I going to say instead of that? Because I don't like that intro. But hello, hello. How are you getting on? It's the third week of January now. No, it's the fourth week. Jesus, when the hell are we? Last week of January. Okay, last week of January. That's, time is flying. It's kicking on by, isn't it? I'll just make sure it is the last week of January. And we're back. What a rip-roaring start. Yep, I've checked it. Today's the 25th. We're in the last week of January. How are you getting on? How's your 2024 going? This is... Yeah, I suppose by this point you'd know if you're going to stick to your resolutions or not. Have you been sticking to your resolution? What have you been up to? You trying not to drink? Have you been drinking? Trying to stop smoking, but you're still smoking? Doesn't matter. Does not matter. You do you. I mean, if you are sticking to them, you know, power to you. Keep going, you're doing good. But if you're not, don't worry about it. It's always next year. Last week of January, though, that means it's my... Let's talk about me for a second. That means it's my last week of being in my 20s. And how do I feel about that? I don't know. Fine, I suppose. I mean, by my age, my parents had two kids in a house. Different times, you know. Then the generation, you know, my grandparents' generation, most of them have been away fighting in a war by this age. So, let's not compare. I'll be 30 on the 1st of February. And, yeah, I mean, I'm not freaking out about it. You know, some folk don't like turning 30. It's a big number. Big round number. 30 years old. When I was little, younger. I was younger. Everyone was younger in the past. The film 13 Going on 30 came out when I was about 12 or probably 13 years old. And I'm not lying, my sister had it on video. It wasn't mine, I swear. I watched that and I enjoyed that. But at that age, 30 seemed like such a far away grown-up age. You know, it was a complete... Why would I even think about that age? I'm never going to be 30. I mean, I'll live that long, but, you know, why worry about that? Everything will have worked itself out by then. Everything will be aligned and all come together. And now I'm under a week from that age, and here it comes. Nobody knows what they're doing. I don't know what I'm doing. Does anyone know what they're doing? You know, it just seems like everyone's sort of trying their best. Or they, if they're good, they're trying their best. Some folk are just... parasites, wastes of space. No, you know, I mean, just try your best. Everyone seems to be trying their best. If anybody does have the answers to life, though, I'd be curious because, well, it's got deep quick. All right, let's move on. How am I getting on? Yeah, I'm good. You know, where am I in my life? So in that film, she's what, like a newspaper editor, magazine editor. She's a big deal. Jennifer Garner. I'm not in publishing, so I can't really compare to that. I'm not a female. I don't live in New York, so what am I comparing to? 30 years old. Yeah. No, I'm doing fine. I've got nothing to go and have a panic attack over. You know, I've got myself a good woman. I'm very lucky. Yeah, I got a good lady in my life, and it's not. Got some. Save. What have I got? Yeah, I mean, if I was to get fired tomorrow, if, you know, I could live for maybe 2 or 3 months without getting into problems. You know, that's why you get yourself a good woman, you know, you get yourself a sugar mama. No, yeah, nothing to complain about. I am bald, but that is because I shaved my head, so if I didn't do that, I wouldn't. Well, it's because my hair was thinning, so, yeah. Nothing to complain about. I've even somehow sort of got myself in a career. Never thought I would. I would be curious to know the amount of people by the time they turn 30, how many of them are doing what they wanted to do in high school. Because when I left school, I had no plans. Yeah, I left school not giving a fuck. I hated school. Absolutely despised it every minute. I hated turning up in the morning, and I loved leaving at the end of the day. And then, even then, the idea of going on to further education, there was just no way. Why would I want to go to university? I've hated every minute of being in this place. Why would I then want to go and go on? And I ended up going to university. So, way to go. Yeah. And then the work that I'm in now. And I never went to details about it, so it's not like I'm doing any kind of confidentiality slandering or anything. But no, I work for ambulance control. I'm a dispatcher. And I would never ever have thought I would have ended up doing that. So, Jesus. Yeah. Turning 30, here I am. I did move out by the time I was 30. That is, you know, there was a while there where it looked like maybe I wouldn't. Maybe I'd, you know, my nieces would be asking Graham, why did Uncle Lewis never move out? But no, that's not me. Independent in that sense. Maybe I'm not going to complain about where I am in life. Got a roof over my head and far from going hungry. Jesus, you know, I could do with working on that. And I've got I've got a career because I don't know if I want to do that forever, but got a pretty stable job. So that's fine. But yes, I would be curious to know how many folk leave high school and go on to do what they wanted to do. Jeez, I hate school. Just thinking about it now, I hated it. Yeah. And speaking of my birthday coming up, every day, the flap. We got post this morning. Came through the wee flap on the door. And I went down to it like a Labrador. Hey, post. Down the stairs. And it was addressed to me, like written on the envelope. It wasn't, you know, usually it's printed. I don't get a lot of post. So I opened the big, it was in like a vinyl envelope. I think I opened that and there was a littler, weird envelope. And a parcel inside. So I'm assuming they're for my birthday. So I gave them to Charlotte. And she's hidden them. And I'll get them on my birthday. But I'm curious as to who sent them. Because the only people I know that have my address are the bank. and my car insurance. So I don't imagine the bank are sending me presents. Yeah, I'll find out closer to the time. Perhaps my mother gave my address to somebody, but I don't think she even actually has the address. So, we'll see who's sending me things in the post. Getting older, though, sort of hit me like a, I don't know what it hit me like, it just hit me suddenly. Maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, my parents went on holiday to Italy. And they asked, would we like anything back? You know, souvenir-wise or anything like that, you know. Oh, you're bringing back a fucking Alfa Romeo? No, just, you know, we didn't like anything back from Italy. And I wanted, for a candle holder, a bottle of Chianti. Yeah, Chianti. You know, Silence of the Lambs, Hannibal Lecter. But the Chianti bottles, they're the sort of, I don't want to use the word stubby, but they're sort of smaller wine bottles, and they've got this sort of straw wrapped around the bottom, and they look very cool. And so you know the film, The Lady and the Tramp, the Disney film, the cartoon of the two dogs, The Lady and the Tramp. They've got the very, very famous scene where they're having spaghetti and meatballs. And, if you've seen it, even if you've not seen the film, you'll have seen the clip where they suck it in each. And they are both on the same bit of spaghetti and they accidentally kiss. And oh, it's all romantic for cartoon dogs. But if you look at the table, people. Look at what's on the table. There's a Chianti bottle. And the Chianti bottle is used as a candle holder. And then what happens is the wax drips and it gets covered in the wax. And it's all very, I don't know. I wanted one. But I'm not a big drinker, and Charlotte doesn't drink. So, the bottle of wine sat in the cupboard in the spare room, the room I'm in just now, the podcast studio, but it's also the spare room, sat in the cupboard on its side for a few years. And then we'd been down in Edinburgh just before Christmas to, I spoke about it on here, we went to go and see Wicked, the stage musical about the Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz. And a co-worker of mine, one of my supervisors, we were talking away, and she knows that I like to cook, and she knows that I like food and all kinds of, you know, that sort of stuff. And she recommended a shop to me in Edinburgh, a sort of deli type place, like a family owned old fashioned thing. I forgot what the fucking place is called. I think it's called like Valvona and Crolla, but don't quote me on that. But it's an Italian deli in Edinburgh. And, you know, she advised if I do go there, get a pack of these sausages, because, you know, they make their own sausages there, and apparently they're absolutely fantastic. And myself and Charlotte, we found it, we went in, and we actually had breakfast there. It's very, very tasty. And I got the sausages. I also bought my co-worker a pack as well, because this is a thank you for introducing me to this place. I'm probably going to visit every single time I go to Edinburgh now. But I watch a lot of cooking videos on YouTube, and a lot of them are done by Americans. Well, the ones I watch are all done by Americans. I'm sure if I search, I could find ones done by Australians, but I watch the American ones. And when they make pasta sauce, they always use canned San Marzano tomatoes. Which, if you go to, well, where I shop, if you go to Tesco, you don't find them here. You know, you get chopped tomatoes, plum tomatoes, passata, you know. But you don't get these San Marzano ones. And then when I was in the shop in Edinburgh, they sold them there. So, you know, like imported. So they weren't crazy expensive, but they weren't cheap. And we bought two cans of those. What's my point here? I'm getting to the point. I am getting to the point. Just to bore the fucking socks off you. We came back from Bruges last week. Jesus, I'm still going to write up my little fucking travel story. And I said, Charlotte, I'll just make us a big meat sauce with the last can of the San Marzano tomatoes, because they're special. You know, we don't get them a lot, and it's all part of the ingredients. And then when you're making an Italian sauce, part of the ingredient list is wine, red wine. So instead of going out and going to Tesco and buying one of those tiny little mini bottles of like Argentinian red wine, I thought, fuck it, I'm going to open the fancy, what's probably not even fancy, I'm going to open the hell's it got, the Chianti. And I did, and I put a little bit into the sauce, and that was all fine. But now I had an open bottle of wine that I didn't want to pour down the sink. And not being a big drinker, I was like, well, I'm not going to guzzle it. What I'll do, I'll drink it, I'll sip it. And that's what I did. Poured it into a wee wine glass. We have one in the cupboard. And I started to sip on it as I was cooking. And then later, as I was eating the dinner. To begin with, it tasted just like every other wine I've ever tasted. You know, like when I was younger, my mum was drinking wine, I would try a little bit, and it just tasted like wine. There was no flavour, there was nothing to it. And then the more that I drank it, I kept at it. You know, the more I sipped, the more I started to taste beneath the wine, if that makes sense. There was suddenly flavour to it. It was quite a sweet, nice, well, like, I was surprised, because I thought, oh, you know, like, folk, like, I've got whiskies in the flat here. All tastes like fucking whiskey to me. You know, some folk will, oh, I'm getting aromas of vanilla and cinnamon. Like, mate, it's just Burnie whiskey, you know. And maybe not, maybe there's something to it, maybe you just have to keep at it. So I was drinking the wine, and I was really enjoying it. So then for the next few nights after that, I would sit with a glass of wine and relax. I'd say unwind. I've been off work. Well, not signed off work or anything like that. I've just been off work just because of the way my holidays are. So I just sit and sip this glass of wine. And it's like, fucking hell, I'm like an adult now. I'm just sitting here, chilling out. And to make matters fucking worse, we're watching Grey's Anatomy, which I don't know if you've ever seen, but that's a programme for adults. And it reminds me, there's a South Park episode where like the kids have been totally pompous and they're watching Grey's Anatomy. And suddenly there's me Like in one night, I went from not being this person to sitting there on a quiet evening, sipping a glass of wine, watching Grey's Anatomy, and it's very jarring. Like, I'm about to turn 30. Why did that just kick in? But to finish the wine now, the bottle is clean, and, you know, it's all rinsed out and soaped out and stuff, and we've had a candle stuck in it, and some of the wax has dripped down, so already it's a candle holder. So if you're ever around for an Italian meal for any reason, guys, I'll be sure to pair the Chianti candlestick holder. And then afterwards we can watch Grey's Anatomy. Good program, by the way, if you've never seen it. It's like Scrubs without the humour. It's serious. Yeah. So maybe I like wine now. I don't know, maybe that's who I'm going to become, the wine guy. Just sip the Pinot Grigio. I don't actually know what that is. I think it's a white wine. I know fuck all about wine. I wanted the Chianti bottle because Hannibal liked to drink it, and I wanted it because it had the candle effect. That's that. And we don't have to watch Grey's Anatomy, but we can watch, and what we've just finished is Fargo. I don't know if you've seen that. Season 5's just finished. We watched it on Amazon, I think. It's on season 5 now, but that doesn't mean it's been on for 5 years. You know, some things do a season a year. It's probably 10 years now, because I watched it when I still lived with my parents. And I used to watch it on Channel 4 back then. So it might be on the 4OD app, or whatever that one's called now. It used to be called 4OD. Or, you know, I'm sure it's on Amazon. So there are ways to watch it, guys. The 4OD app, that's free, by the way, because there's adverts on it. But you have to pay for the Amazon. But if you get Amazon Prime, I think that's how you watch it. I think it's called Amazon Prime. I don't know. It's on my Xbox. So I turn the Xbox on, select Amazon, and boom, all this seemingly unlimited media just spews at my TV. So Fargo, the program, I'd advise, obviously, starting with season one. So start with season one. But before that, there's a film by the Coen brothers called Fargo. I might have spoken about this lately, actually. I don't remember. I spoke about it in previous episodes. The film is set in the 80s, and it's just, you know, it's the senselessness and the mundane of crime, basically. You know, it's what it comes down to. What's it worth? But ultimately, at the end of the day, life goes on. And it's a really shit review of the film, but it's a great film. Fully advise you watch that first, because the series, even though it's not made by the Coen brothers who made the film, the series is set in the same world as the film, if you know what I mean. You know, all the Avengers films where everyone comes together, and that's all set in the same universe. Well, the Fargo film and the Fargo series, all set in the same globe. I don't know, it's all the same story. Well, not the same story, but it's all set in the same thing. Season one had Martin Freeman from, he's in, you know, The Office, and he's in Love Actually, and he was, I've never seen it, but he was in The Hobbit. He played Bilbo Baggins in the Hobbit films they made after Lord of the Rings, but set before Lord of the Rings. And he was Watson in BBC's Sherlock. He's in season one as a wee guy who lives away out in Minnesota and gets in some bother, gets himself suddenly dropped into crime. And I don't want to give anything away, because it's wonderful, but it's, I don't want to say realistic, because it's not, because there are elements, like, it's right up my street, there are elements of the paranormal in the program. So that's season one. And then in season one, there's a man who owns a diner. And he, over the course of that season, reveals that he himself was a state trooper before retiring and opening his diner. And it's actually the character of his daughter. She's the police officer in season one. So this gentleman in season one being the diner. Season two is this character back in the 70s, and it shows you a case he worked on, and season 2 is my absolute favourite. I think that may be the best thing I've ever seen on TV. Season 3, that's got Ewan McGregor in it, season 3, set, I think, around about 2011, and then season 4 was set, I think, 1950, and that was a lot more gangster-based. That's, you know, pinstripe suits and Tommy guns, Italian Americans, African Americans, Irish Americans, like proper the foundations of modern true crime and syndicates. And then season 5, which has just finished, that seemed to be set 2019 or 2020, set recently, because it seems to poke fun at Trump. You know, Trump and the sort of white, not white supremacists, but the far right. You know, you get like right wing politics, and there's the far right. You know, poked fun of that a lot. But when I say it's right up my street, the seasons, they're sprinkled with just a tiny wee bit of paranormal or supernatural, but not overwhelmingly at all. But as I said, I think season 2 is the best thing I've ever seen on TV. And if you were just to watch one season and completely disregard everything else I said, just watch season 2. I showed Charlotte it and she loved it, and then it was going so well. But then the paranormal aspect came into it, and it doesn't overtake the story by any means, but for Charlotte that was too much. She doesn't like, you know, that took her out of it. Because I remember I showed her The X-Files, and I love The X-Files. I like all the ghosts, I like the aliens, and then she's watching it and she's more invested in Mulder and Scully maybe falling in love. And I'm like, well, that's... woman, this is about aliens. Yeah, so it might not be for everyone, but if you're going to give your time to it, I recommend starting with the movie and then just season 1, season 2, season 3, season 4, season 5, just going in order. If you want, you can watch them in time order, but not so good that way, because as it goes on you get little branches and clips, and well, if you really get into it you'll start hearing names and things like that, and oh, that's the same character, or oh, that's they're referring to that incident. Maybe that's just really geeky, but no, I love it. And yeah, season 2, absolutely fantastic. Give it a watch, let me know what you think. But season 5 just finished, so I don't know what we're going to watch now. That was our week-by-week thing. It was Amazon, because Amazon would release one episode a week, which you don't get so much, which I haven't had to do with anything since Twin Peaks season 3. So I need to find something else to watch. But I've been reading online that the new True Detective is apparently fantastic, and I've not seen that since season 1. So this is season 4... I think. I've only seen season 1, and that was Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson in the, oh, I think it's the South, you know, it's the sort of bayous and things like that. Again, it's a sort of, it's a lawman, and there's a bit of supernatural to it, but that was a good programme. I showed Charlotte that on DVD when we first moved in here. That's sort of my memories of moving into this flat was, you know, we didn't have any furniture or anything like that, so be sitting watching True Detective with our dinners in our laps and stuff. Well, we'd packing plates, the food wasn't just spilt onto our laps, but yeah, not sentimental. But season 4, because season 2 had Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn, Rachel McAdams, and then season 3 was set in the Ozarks. So this is season 4, yeah. I mean, I will at some point watch 2 and 3, but there's so much to watch. There's just, you know, it's too much going on. There's not enough time in the world. Season 4, I think, is set in Alaska. Jodie Foster, Clarice, you know, Silence of the Lambs, Chianti. See, everything, it's all connected, guys. Everything's connected. Yeah. I love a snowy mystery, you know. So, we're going to be getting one of these noir stories set in the snow. I'm going to be all over that. So I'm going to check out Fargo, True Detective Season 4 at some point. As long as it's on one of the many fucking streaming services we have. Netflix and Amazon. 4OD, BBC iPlayer. ITV. Jesus, yeah. Is that everything for now? I'm just waiting for a phone call. Charlotte is out at a ball. She is rubbing shoulders with other people. No, we got a wee night out. She's getting her dinner and everything, so I've had to feed myself. God, like a stray dog, I'd find my own food. So I'm just waiting for her to phone and say, come and please pick me up, which I will. Yeah, she got all dressed up, looked lovely. Smelt lovely, you know, started putting on all the sprays and things. And then when I checked the date at the start of this podcast, it's Burns night tonight. And we did fuck all, naturally. Because we're Scottish, we don't bother. I don't think many Scottish folk actually bother at Burns night. And if they do, it's probably just an excuse to get pished on whiskey. Yeah. I've got a Burns book on the cupboard, on the shelf there, but I'm not a big fan of his poetry, I'm sorry guys. So I'm not going to read you anything like that. Like Best Laid Plans of Mice and Men and Two a Hat, or Auld Lang Syne, I suppose, that's a pretty bad, it's a fucking big one, Auld Lang Syne. Yeah, so maybe I'll see if we can get a chippy tomorrow night, maybe a wee haggis supper. But yeah, we do not celebrate Burns Night in this flat. Not out of any kind of political, you know. No way. I don't know anybody that bothers with it. If you do, it's not an issue. I'd love to know if you do, why you do, you know. Are you Scottish out of curiosity? Because I genuinely, in my vast network of friends and social, I don't know anybody that does, you know. My mum's friend, she was brought up speaking, you know, that broad Scots, the proper, like the way he writes. That was her household. So apparently, I've never seen it, but apparently she can recite one hell of a Burns. Because she knows what all the words mean. You know, it's like, what would it be like? I don't know. You know, when somebody reads Shakespeare and they're like, oh, no, I totally understand it. Do you? Do you? Do you read that in one fluid motion and understand exactly what's going on? Because when I do Scots, I struggle. I tried reading Tam O'Shanter. You know the one, it's Burns, but it's the one where the boy's coming home from the pub and he sees the witches and the warlocks dancing and his horse runs away and he's on it and the witch pulls the poor thing's tail off. And it was a fucking chore to read. Because I didn't know what was going on. I couldn't fucking understand it. But I'll leave it there, guys. And I'm going to read a bit of listener mail. You got sent a message. If I can get it open here. Gmail. Okay, so. I love getting messages, guys. It's always lovely when I get the little buzz on my phone and I open it and it is new message. So please feel free to write in. Especially this week. I mean, you know, do you do Burns night? Do you have haggis? Do you cook haggis? Do you toast? Do you have the whole address, the two haggis? Have you seen Fargo? What did you think of it? What's worth watching? Feel free to write in because I will read it out. Unless it's very unpleasant, but no. It's lovely getting a bit of bounce off the audience, knowing that you're out there. But I shall read this. This one came through. So, in regards to the last podcast, talking about your recent visit to Bruges, I thought I would get in touch and let you know about some other short-stop European destinations I've been to over the years and would recommend. Copenhagen in Denmark. I've never been in the summer, but in the winter, it isn't as cold as one might imagine. The cafes and restaurants offered blankets to cover us with as we dined outside, and outdoor heating has come a long way since we first visited. Rome, in Italy. Every time I've been, there's been something new to discover. A must stop for history lovers, but the architecture is breathtaking, the food is delicious, and Bio Parco di Roma, Rome Zoo, is one of the best zoos I've visited. Bio Parco di Roma, maybe. Sorry, guys. Barcelona in Spain. I've only been able to go with work, and as is the case, I cannot vouch for the beach, although it is popular. The city itself is beautiful, and the nightlife was excellent. My partner accompanied me, at her own expense, and it was a romantic getaway when we had time together. Budapest, in Hungary. Affordable and picturesque. The food was delicious, and to make things easier, we had friends who lived there at the time. Tours of the city were included with our stay. The river there is the Danube, and I remember seeing astonishing architecture. However, the wine is also excellent. My memories may be hazy. Edinburgh, in Scotland. You're Scottish, so I won't gush about this city, but the historical tours, the architecture, and the pubs make this city one of my favourite to visit in the UK. Berlin, in Germany. Nightclubs are among the best I've been to. Visited with friends in my scandalous days, and have always wanted to go back. A city full of history. Also, possibly the best kebabs I've ever had. When travelling, I find that it can be affordable to book a flight directly with the airline and use Airbnb for the accommodation. Local shops and markets sell food and wine, leaving the money for the day's events. Hopefully, this will help you decide on your next visit. Sincerely, Hadley. So, first of all, thank you very much for getting in touch. As I said, it's lovely to get messages. And thank you for the recommendations. There's plenty of thought on where to go. Regarding Edinburgh, thank you. I've been a few times, and I won't make that one of my weekend visits. We tend to go there at Christmas time. I've never gone in the summer with the Fringe. That could be cool. Copenhagen, you mentioned. That was somewhere that we had looked at, but I think what it came down to, it was very expensive. What we had considered was doing, somebody at my work actually recommended it, was doing a Nordic cruise, and they stop in at the places along there, you know, so you get to see a bit of Sweden, a bit of Norway, a bit of fucking Denmark, but of course they don't do it in winter because it's very cold, so, and that's when myself and Charlie could time off. So Copenhagen, maybe one day. See, myself and Charlotte are both going to Rome at different points, not together, so that's not top of our list. And I know she wants to visit Barcelona, so I might have to go there at some point. I would love to go to Germany, and I'd love to go and see many places in Germany, and I'd like to go to Vienna as well. Somewhere else, it's very dour, I would like to go and see Auschwitz. You say you want, like, I wouldn't like to go. I don't know how to say that. I feel I should go and see Auschwitz. And the plus side of that is you get to go to Krakow, and apparently that's a beautiful city. So I'd like to go to Poland at some point. And then take a day trip to Auschwitz and possibly be very depressed for the rest of my time away. But I do feel it behooves me to go and see something like that, you know. Because I'm assuming one day these things are going to start falling down. I don't know if, obviously they'll try and sort of preserve them, but what am I trying to say here? these horrible places, these terrible things, you know, the monuments to the evil we can do to each other. They're not going to be there forever. I don't know if we're going to rebuild them, so I think we should go and see them and acknowledge that these things did happen. And of course, if you could go to Poland and have a lovely time in Krakow. There's some other places. So that was a message from Hadley. And thank you very much for listening. Thank you for writing in. It is, you know, it's touching when people take the time to do that. But I'm going to leave you there, guys. I'm going to go and I think I've got to take the wee dog out. And I'm going to go and get some snacks and watch a little bit of TV. So, as always, big thank you to Blackmail for the theme song and Cora for the logo. You can get in touch. Go to www.thecrackpodcast.co.uk. You get all the links to all the social things, and there's a contact tab. Until next time, as always, you look after yourself, be good to each other. Don't take any shit, but just be good. Alright, I'll talk to you next time, guys. Bye for now.